Now on today's program, yet another milestone in the 7 years of We Hate Movies. We are celebrating the 300th goddamn episode of this show, talking about Zack Snyder's 300 for the 300th time. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program as always. If you've been with us since the beginning, by the way.
Well, this is goodbye.
It's going to be a group suicide at the end of this episode. No. I was going to say, before Eric started threatening with canceling the show, this is the 300th episode, and thank you for sticking around.
Wait, should I be pouring out the Kool-Aid? Or
Yeah. We're not going to need it this time.
Wait, what? No.
Come on.
I'll take it home.
Okay.
No, we've been doing this show for a long time. There's a lot of content on the internet for you. So if you're just joining us or in the last few weeks or something, we've been around for a while. So check out that back catalog, baby, whmpodcast.com.
It's always weird when somebody's like, oh, yeah, I caught on when you guys started doing like Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I was like, ha, fucking noob. And then I'm like, wait, no, that was 4 years ago. Okay.
All right. Someone will say something like, oh, I started watching when, or I started listening when you did whatever. And I'm like, we did an episode on whatever. And they're like, yeah, man, lay off the pipe, dude. Today's film, what better way to ring in 300 episodes than with one of the most boring piece of shit fucking douchebag movies of all time.
No.
Zack Snyder's 300 from 2007, directed by Zack Snyder.
Big, hard hunk of shit.
Yeah, listen, we don't like it. It's okay if you do.
No, it's not. I'm interrupting Eric on this one. This one I will not stand for.
Here's
Zack Snyder. He's a piece of shit.
Dude, we're catching shit. You're better open your mouth,
I will.
Man.
But here's the thing. If you like it, because I know people that like this movie.
Yeah.
But I want to know why.
I'll tell you why. I've been doing some thinking on, well, not only the hunk
chunka,
dude, man, the fucking hunk factor.
Dude, the hunk chunka in this movie, it broke the hunkometer.
But here's the thing. We grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
And today.
Yeah. Still doing
we
it.
Live inside an oldies radio station.
Yeah. We're still putting McDonald's in our pants. But the level of violence on screen in 300 was not really seen before. Well, I mean, it was out there. Yes, Chris, there was like man bites dog and shit like that out there.
Funny.
But
and there is Japan.
Yes.
Oh, dude, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Right. But for, you know, I can't go shopping at FYE and then see a Japanese movie under most normal circumstances at the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like people were very attracted for English. Funny enough, they are all English people, I think.
Well, yeah, the English, lead is a Scotsman.
Yeah. And they're all, and it's just the level of violence is so extreme that if you're an adolescent male at the time of this release, you're like, well, that was kind of nifty.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying that I knew people 10 years ago who were grown-ass adults who were like, this movie is amazing. And I was like, what in the ever-loving tits are you talking about?
I would think that the amount of people that have been involved in swattings and the amount of people that count this as one of their favorite movies, that Venn diagram, there's a healthy midsection.
That's
there.
A nice purple you got going.
It's
there.
Just about a purple circle. That's absolutely right.
Like, oh man, I got swatted again.
If this is your favorite movie, odds are you've made a racist comment on a group internet video game thing.
Leonidas would never let this happen. Mm-hmm. Not in the middle of Call of Duty. Who gives a shit?
But you've called someone the C word on a YouTube comment board.
It's very much of its time. I don't like it. It doesn't hold up. Like if you're coming to this being like, but I like that movie, rewatch it. You'll see it doesn't really hold up. You know, there's so much better shit out there now. And the egregious amount of CG and the fucking monsters.
Man, that lady likes video games, but not the way that I like video games. I'm going to be typing all night.
Get ready, fingers. you're going to be touching some keys.
Going to have to shuck off the Cheeto flame and hot sauce.
After I get my McDonald's out of my pants, I'm going to tell this I'm going to ask this lady if she can name five programmers who do the code on video games.
Oh, get back here, fish fillet. Not that easy.
Can we start with the blood? Because is this, for me at least, this was the first time I noticed the whole digitized blood thing.
Oh, it really
Oh, big
happened.
Time. Well, because this was, we're selling this as a 3D movie. So you got spears coming at you. You got blood
this
coming
was
in your face. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, okay.
If it wasn't, right. They were really pining for it to be 3D.
3D-100?
Yep, that's yep. That's great. I'll be out in the parking lot.
Well, this is the end of the show, so who cares? The final episode. Here we go.
So this is a based on a Frank Miller comic.
You don't say it.
It's based on a Frank Miller graphic novel.
Which I have read.
Okay, I have not.
It's a Frank Miller thing.
Yeah, so I mean, it's Frank Miller post 1989. You're kind of usually...
It's just a printout of YouTube comments.
Exactly right.
So it's the Battle of Thermopylae. Maybe I got that right.
You know what?
Pronunciation.
I don't know. It's next to Charlie's Chocolate Factory. Right?
It is. Yeah,
Mia Thermopolis from Princess Diaries.
Yeah, it's based off the 300 Spartans movie, not so much the history books.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have weird fucking goblin giant monsters. Back then?
Oh, no, they did. That's what they refer to as anyone that's not white. In this movie, that's what that is.
There's an outright, like, if Golem took fucking HGH and steroids, what that one thing is. Right. They got that fucker chained up, and then they let him go.
He looks like Stallone in Rambo, in the movie, or in John Rambo.
John Rambo, that is one of the most, I was shocked watching that movie. That movie, can I tell you, seeing this movie in the theaters, I went to one of the fucking horrendous 42nd Street theaters to see that movie, and it was like virtually sold out. Me and a buddy of mine was in from out of town. We got stuck sitting in like the front row. It was so loud, and the fucking gun, like machine gun violence and sound effects in that movie, I felt like I was being assassinated 1,000 times over watching that.
But it was also great when he destroyed Sephora and Columbus Circle.
Man, Rambo let loose on New York City
as the Cloverfield.
Speaking of CG blood, that Rambo is full of it. That Rambo movie,
yeah. Oh, big time! It was like it was. And I've seen some fucked up shit. You want to talk about stuff from Japan? But I was like, oh my god! Like this movie is shockingly violent. This is just like it's violent, but it's like it's all now. Like at least watching it in 2017. And I should make a point: I did not see this movie in the theaters. I only saw it when it was released on Blu-ray years later.
You want to know an embarrassing fact?
You saw it in the theater?
Not only did I see it in the theater, I saw it midnight Thursday, baby.
Oh, nice.
I got an excuse. I got an excuse.
You're drunk. Were you drunk?
Yes, but that's not my excuse.
YouTube closed for the night?
They shuttered YouTube. They turned off the comments section.
Do you guys
section?
Remember that in 2006? YouTube would have like the saluting America. We are signing off for the evening.
But man, it should. And you know what? It should just get rid of comments. It should get rid of the comments section.
Like IMDb did.
Yep.
Smart.
Just get rid of it.
Smart move.
Sorry.
No, but the
what
reason I saw this at midnight, the day of release, was I was working 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift. So
I
was like, I liked the end of the week because then I could go see a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I also did that with that fucking Die Hard where he's like rolling off of fighter jets. The
one with Kevin Die Hard Smith, 4.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah. You brought a cop into my command center.
What a dark time for action movies,
man. Oh, big time. And I left my fucking umbrella in the theater for that one.
You ever get that back?
No, I was walking home at like 2 in the AMs or whatever, and it started to rain, and I was like, oh, man, where's my... Oh, no! they shut down for the night.
Were you doing that sweet Midtown to Astoria walk?
Oh, no. Actually, I saw both of those movies at the Kaufman Astoria.
Oh, one of the worst movie theaters in New York City.
My umbrella's gone! My umbrella's gone!
So we open on a pile of baby bones, which is what you want.
I didn't think that those skulls were accurately sized. They just looked like adult
skulls. I think
they're
hucking everybody out there, man.
It seems really? Like
traffic violation. Huck.
Traffic violation.
I thought that this one pit that they were talking about, because this dude's given like the backstory of Gerard Butler's character, and he's talking about like when a baby's born in Sparta, they look it over, and if there's anything fucked up with it, they just chuck it in this hole. Yeah. And my thing was like, oh, it's like the baby pit. And then they go down, and you know, it's a little like tilt down, and it's all these like cartoon skulls, but they all look like human size. So I was like, oh, is it a baby pit or is it like the Spartan pit? And it's like multi use.
I think this is specifically the baby pit.
I think, yes, I think the babies are going in there and they grow up and die.
They grow up
in the hole.
They're just living down there. Yeah.
Well, can I ask, how do you get the baby inspector job in Sparta?
Very careful. I'll show you.
A great attention to detail, Chris. A number one. Be able to handle multiple projects at once.
Probably.
3 to 5 years retail experience. Preferably managed.
Which back then, that was much easier than today.
Yeah.
With the Amazon and everything.
Well, there was so much haggling back in the day.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You're there for hours to sell like one goddamn pot.
Wait a minute. That's not the baby inspector.
I mean, none of us would make that inspection, right? Like, no.
What? Oh, they would toss our bodies?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I was pretty okay before I ruined myself with substance abuse and McDonald's in my pants.
I think I'm kind of in the same boat. I think maybe I would have scooched it by, maybe just bare min.
This girl baby's fine, but we just let a girl baby live like fucking 1 month ago.
It was
we
a tough time for girl babies in Sparta.
So we go through Leonidas, who's going to be Gerard Butler's sort of backstory, and like he's is he born a king or does he like have to beat that wolf and then he becomes a king?
He has to be beaten the shit out of.
He's in the lineage. Like, okay. His dad is the king, and then it's like, hey man, if you make it back from this wolf weekend, you'll then be a king. Oh yeah, wolf weekend, dude. It's a great time.
I like the idea that you have to like fight the nothing before you can become king, because that's what this thing is. It's the nothing from the Neverending Story.
It looks like kind of like the way that you can only see its eyes and its teeth. I thought of Attack the Block the whole time.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing, I noted this when I was watching it this time, I was like, it's clearly just a CGI wolf, but somehow they also made it look like a shitty puppet.
It's a puppet too. Yeah.
Well, I think this is all fake.
It's all in his head?
There is a narrator, because the dude at the end of the movie comes back.
Is you that bet David Wayne or whatever?
David Wenham, not Wenham, David Wayne.
David Wayne.
yes, the state's David Wayne as a Spartan warrior. And Michael Ian Black is Leonidas, I believe.
Anyway,
what I was getting at with the, I you know, there's a guy at the end of the movie, spoiler, who survives, because it was like 301, I guess.
No, it's actually 299.
I got a lot of beef with them numbers, by the way.
So he goes back, and this is like a rallying cry, like a speech he's giving to all the other armies of Greece to then fight Xerxes and the Persian horde. But
at one point, but as we learn at the end of the movie, he's also talking to the fucking Galactic Senate for a little bit.
Exactly. Oh, God. The thing is, here's the thing. He is, but that's the thing, is like, this is to pump people up. This is all fucking bullshit, man. Like,
yep, it's all propaganda.
There's no fucking wolf. It's like Leonidas fought like, oh, wait. No, it was actually a cat. You know? It's a house cat. Palace cat.
We just asked him to stomp a cat to death out on the front steps. It was pretty bad.
This is all like, oh, and he was so tough that he fought a wolf and a bear.
And a leopard.
It'd be great if at the end it's just David Wenham in a bar like drinking, and then like Jonah Hill shows up. He's like, and Leonidas himself has arrived. That's the guy that killed the wolf and did all that stuff.
This Cabin, is how all those myths happen. Yeah. Paul Bunyan was the same shit.
I think Cabin might be the only one to have seen this movie, which is why I was singling you out. David Wenham, is he the dude who was the dad in Lion?
I think so. I just know him from the show that nobody watches, Iron Fist.
Oh,
I think that is that dude, and he's in Top of the Lake.
He's in Lord of the Rings. He's one of, I think he's like,
who's he in Lord of the Rings?
I believe.
Oh, he's some fucking dwarf dude.
No, I think he's Sean Bean's like shitty brother. Like, comes in the later ones.
Oh, Baragorn?
Yes.
Is that his name?
No. Oh. I think it's Faramir, I believe.
Oh, or Flappy.
The weird thing about the nothing, could we just take,
This is my brother Flappy.
He's the black sheep of the family. Flappy.
The nothing is kind of like depression personified. So it's like this wolf is just like, hey, Steve, you don't have to go to work today. You could just like order Mexican food and watch Netflix all day. You work hard enough.
Oh, man.
Man, wait, that's what your depression says to you?
Not depression, laziness, maybe.
I was going to say, that's just my guy.
That's my guy. That's my inner voice in
That's
general.
My dire wolf. He's just like,
hey, Andrew, you know, it'd be pretty cool. You've accumulated a lot of sick days you never use.
Hey, Chris. Pizza.
By the way, we're all clinically depressed. You just don't know it, dude.
No, you know, yeah, I'm not diagnosed.
Andrew, you know there's nothing wrong with eating a whole appetizer of guacamole alone, right?
Oh, shit, Andrew. They found you out. Do the fake phone call bit again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had my dire wolf with me last night, man.
Come on, Chris. You can eat that butter off the sidewalk.
Sidewalk butter.
Oh, that's the name of my solo album.
It's still good.
Sidewalk butter.
That is disgusting.
It's so fucking disgusting.
Are we talking melted or is it still solid?
No, like solid.
Okay.
So it's
New York City in the summertime. Yeah. Like August 5th when we will be at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York.
All right, 2017 if you're listening in the future. Get in the time machine.
No, like, this is it would have been September back before the earth was fucked, but like October era. Like
that's
sidewalk,
when you want your sidewalk butter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
you're
pumpkin
just dealing
spiced
with,
at that
you're
point.
Just dealing with the diseases at that point.
I saw a guy, a buddy of mine, drop a Sicilian slice of pizza face down in a Blockbuster circa 1996 and ate that shit, man.
No.
Picked it up and ate, he said five second
rule. Did the cheese come off? Like, was it like a separate, like did a separate, did the saucer detach from the dish or whatever the fuck? No. Like, so he was actually just eating floor cheese.
Yes. I mean, the cheese had still solidified. It was a strong slice of pizza.
Oh, no, that's a trash pizza.
It's garbage.
Blockbuster carpeting, by the way. Mm-hmm. You could have dropped that shit on ISIS and would have taken a bunch of them out.
Boots that have stepped in the Bronx have stepped on your pizza now.
Oh,
no. Deal with that shit.
No.
So we flash forward. He's a king.
He's Gerard Butler. He's beating the shit out of another kid.
He's wearing...
He's not... That's what I hate about this movie.
What are you talking about?
He's just like kind of passing. Like when you first see Leonidas as a kid, his dad is beating the ever-loving shit out of him.
Oh, yeah, he's taking him out back and showing him what it's like.
When his kid is in the little he's like, okay, like pushing him around.
Yeah, it's like that bullshit Mr. Miyagi training.
Oh, back in my day, we got punched uphill right both ways.
I would have broke your jaw back in the day, young sir.
Leonidas is wearing more makeup than Elizabeth Taylor in this movie. Like, the mascara is out of control,
especially for the
amount of homophobia this movie produces.
Oh,
it's a bit telling.
Everybody's wearing a ton of mascara in this movie, dude. And I was like, maybe it's Maybelline. Like, I don't even know. There's so much eye makeup going on.
It's insane. Think Cleopatra is probably his main, Zack Snyder's main influence here.
Mm-hmm. It's you just made me think Cleopatra's a long ass movie. It's shocking that this movie is under 2 hours.
It feels like it's four.
Yeah. It's the most boring fucking movie I've watched in a while.
It's that thing we did in the 2000s that Sin City kind of invented, which was like, oh, we're going to do shot for shot, comic panel as storyboard. But you know why that doesn't work? Because fucking comics don't move. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of still shots, and then people, it's like a shitty motion comic.
Sin City, by the way, I'll show you a 12-year-old movie that doesn't fucking hold up.
I thought it was okay. I watched it maybe like 4 years ago. I was fine with it. It's a little too long, but it's okay.
I flipped it on about a year ago, and it's just annoying. It feels very gimmicky. And at the time, I remember being like, oh, this is super sweet. And then, then fucking 15 years later.
And I mean, that's the problem with a lot of action movies. I mean, this definitely started it. I think Sin City 300, all these movies were like, okay, it has to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, cannot be under 2 hours. And now but that's the thing is they all feel like the full show. Like it just goes on forever and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing. The action is very stilted and very boring.
It's I didn't remember. I've only seen this twice now. And the first time was when where I work. Installed Blu-ray players to our projection system. We had to test something.
Yeah.
And one of these dudes that loved that movie was like, I got fucking 300 on Blu-ray, baby. Let's fucking break the champagne against the side of the boat.
did the SWAT team break up that screening?
Oh man, I got swatted again, Danny.
Yeah, I was.
Danny, stop it.
I was tear gassed in the theater. It was crazy. They kicked the door in.
You owe me a 2 liter of Code Black. You hear me?
But it's, I was like, oh, I've never seen it, so I'll sit through and watch the test screening. And I was bored by it then, but I didn't really remember it. And watching it last night, I was like, Jesus Christ! Mm-hmm. Not only is this like obnoxious, it's boring as sin.
Mm-hmm. I'm just imagining a SWAT team like breaking up the same fat guy in different locations. It's like, and they, like they go there and they're about to shoot him. Oh man, you again? Oh, man,
he's just picking up pizza off the floor,
kicking down the door of a fucking Blockbuster.
Yes,
that would be pretty cool.
Right, right. We could do. We should take. Well, I was gonna say we should hole up in a video store and make threats, but there are none left.
Question about what happened to Blockbuster and the Hollywood videos of the world, sure. Right? Like, we just let that industry like be destroyed, right?
Sure.
But then I think about like the stink that some people make about coal miners, and they're like, "Oh man, the coal miners, and they can't lose their jobs." I was like, "Where was that support for the video store employees?"
That's true.
So, this
R.I.P. the video stores. This emissary from Xerxes comes to tell Leonidas what's what. He's like, look, you know, and Leonidas does give him warning. He's like, watch your tongue, Persian. This is Spartan. Anything you say will be held against you forever and ever.
You're under arrest.
It's amazing because this dude, he's calling himself like the messenger and whatnot.
Mm.
And when Gerard Butler like steps to this guy, right? This guy's like, how dare you? He's like, do you know what could happen if you fuck with a messenger from mm-hmm. Persia? And I was like, so in this world, like the mailman is king, is the idea.
You're not supposed to kill the messenger. You're supposed to, because it's diplomacy.
Yeah, but you always say don't shoot the messenger after you shoot that motherfucker.
And also, but this is a very important moment because this is the moment where I'm being told that I'm following the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Gerard Butler is clearly the villain of this movie.
Right,
he kicks this guy into an abyss.
Yep, and Xerxes seems pretty sexually progressive.
Yeah, he's well, think. I mean,
the funny thing is, like, he does. This is the plot of this movie, or at least this scene is. Like, basically, somebody getting served with a summons, and then, like, breaking a bottle over that guy's head, and then, like, shit getting really real. You know what I mean? Like, you escalated this for no reason.
Yeah. A dude is trying to just deliver a simple message, and it's the next second we're at war.
Weren't you advocating just a second ago to killing messengers?
No, I'm just saying it's kind of ridiculous that this movie sets up this world in where the mailman... is like
the mailmen have always been protected throughout history.
And as someone who's gotten his share of summonses, the way you handle this is you roll your eyes like, yeah, man, real hero. Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much. that's the move. Like,
just all right, man. Yeah, cool. All right, yeah. Xerxes is coming. Great. Thank you very much. I mean, all right, thank you. No, you're good. You're good, man. You're a real brave man. You're real strong.
Oh, yeah. You like doing that job, do you? Yeah, it'll make you feel like a big guy. Yeah, it makes you feel like a real big fucking guy giving me this summons.
This is like one of five guys that speaks Greek that they're sending, you know? Yeah. That's why it's important that you respect, the diplomacy of
the situation. Well, instead this dickhead kicks him into a hole.
And what is this hole, by the way?
That's a great question. I actually wrote down, what is this hole? Because it's a bottomless pit, and I was like, how'd you construct this thing?
I just thought it was something similar to that Game of Thrones where they threw you in the hole.
But that was was like a sky world.
You're talking about the Veil?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, also known as the Eyrie?
Sure,
oh,
Eric.
Yes. That was the Moon Door?
Yes, yeah. Eric.
No, well, that's why totally is it called Three Things?
That's the problem with Game of Thrones. Everybody's got four names
okay,
and I can't keep up.
All right, dipshits.
Yep. Here we go.
Pull up a stool.
Tell me why it's called the Moon Door.
The Moon Door is the
party
hole.
At the Moon Door.
All right.
A lot cooler if you killed that knight and kicked him out. So... the Moon Door is the hole that, you know, you're up in it. Okay, I gotta step back for a second. The Veil is the area, like the region the kingdom, if you will, because it's the seven kingdoms. And then the Eyrie, I think, is the castle name. And then the Moon Door is a hole.
The execution hole.
Right. Yes. So Kevin was talking about the hole, so why did you say those other two things first?
Well, because I'm trying to remember House Aaron.
Yes.
and Lisa Aaron and Robin Aaron and John Aaron died.
That was the it's kind of around when I stopped watching that show, was when that like 14-year-old was sucking on his mom's boob.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
But all right, man, that's cool. Yeah, no, go tell your wife you did this today. Great. Oh no, it's great. It's fantastic.
You got kids at home, all right? Yeah, but they're real proud of Paul.
I'm a fucking king. You're just serving me a summons.
Because they don't even just kill the mailman. They kill all of the people who came with him.
Well, and why does the mailman need a posse?
Well, you know.
And then, like, on top of, like, it's just, like, immediately you know this guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, you hate this dude's guts. Gerard Butler.
Councilman Dominic West.
Uh-huh.
Clearly a fucker.
McFelty from The Wire.
Back when we were trying to make him in movies.
Because remember. Democracy, a Senate, and all that
government
type of shit,
in general,
fucking garbage.
Garbage
that's,
town.
It's Frank Miller. Democracy doesn't work. That's exactly what. That's every Frank Miller thing. If democracy does not work,
did Dominic West portray the absolute? Did he give the absolute worst Marvel villain performance?
As Seesaw, what is his name?
Jigsaw.
Stitches,
aka a fucking H grade Joker.
Yeah,
right. Punisher Warzone.
Warzone.
What was worse?
Him?
Was there anything worse than Dominic West?
I think his brother in that movie is even worse. What's his face?
Doug, what the fuck?
Yeah, Doug Hutchinson,
the dude that married a child.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's not. But that guy wasn't like a character. Like Jigsaw was a Punisher.
That's true. He ruined a classic quote unquote character.
I'm relatively certain he's just called Crazy Larry in that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. So
he's trying to sell you a TV.
There is an important line here because before he kicks this guy down a well, he's like, "Oh, you went to the Athenians and they kicked you out too." Those philosophers and boy lovers, and everyone laughs.
Yep.
Even though they had like institutional pederasty in Sparta, so
everywhere.
We're just pretending like
institutional pederasty in Sparta. Someone was on Wikipedia at work.
He absolutely was. But the thing is, though, like you know, you just. In most movies, like Gladiator or whatever, you just gloss over that
stuff. Oh, yeah, we don't want to go there.
We as Hollywood, right or wrong, it's just like, we just pretend that doesn't happen. That's not great, but that's fine. But to go out of your way to say they're gay and we're not is so fucking dumb.
Leonidas, after he kicks this dude into a pit, he's like, all right, I'm going to go get approval from these dudes up on a mountain to go to war
these
with everybody.
Wizards.
So Freedom Caucus, you
he
mean?
He climbs up to this thing. It's a fucking flock of Palpatines. These disgusting ass.
They're like mutants.
Yeah, they are some monsters, dude.
There's a fucking ring of Nosferatus.
If you don't agree with Gerard Butler in this movie, you're cursed to walk the earth as a fucking vampire. I don't understand it.
Case in point, that hunchback.
It's simply anybody who's not a Spartan warrior.
Yes.
Because then what was the other line I love is fucking him being like, only Sparta women bring out real men.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's because like they go to this oracle. Basically, these goblin people. Well,
it's a circle of Nosferatus.
Again, unreliable narrator. These were just like regular dudes. Just dudes. And they're just like, and then we have to go and see these nerds.
So these four guys are just like, you know, give us some coin or whatever. Like, they get fucking hopped up on shit. And
earth
have like,
and water?
And they get this girl who is an oracle, but they hop her up on stuff and she like starts. And like
they start licking her?
They start licking her a little
bit.
Well,
there has to be licking. Mm-hmm.
That's how magic works.
Yeah. I mean, you want to get a spell going.
And you definitely need to see her nipple.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You absolutely. Yep. 100% need that shit.
Because it's sex magic. Right,
just
Chris?
To get the hard dick drama going.
Hard dick drama.
Wait, there's no drama in this. You know what? I would kill for a fucking three-dimensional character.
That'd be
there
nice.
Is
Heaven
none.
Forbid.
No, there's none.
There's none.
Leonidas it's could awful. Be, but he isn't. You know, no one is.
They could add a dimension. He's 2D. Most people are 1D.
All right, take off your 3D glasses. You won't be able to see me. You're only getting 2D today.
Now you'll see me. Now you don't.
By the way, I know that we've done multiple episodes on movies of his. I was looking on the old Tribune while I was watching this because, you know,
yeah.
Pay attention to this thing for the entirety of it. I'll give you $1,000. But
Gerard Butler's doing another one of them there Mike Banning movies. Mm-hmm. Oh. Angel Has Fallen. What? It's just Air Force One.
It is just Air Force One.
What?
It's Air Force One.
He's already done London Has Fallen. Next time it's going to be what? Marrakesh Has Fallen?
No, it's Angel Has Fallen, and he's on Air Force One, and terrorists attack
it's
Air
not
Force One.
Los Angeles or anything?
No.
Angels Have Fallen?
That's what I thought when I clicked on the link, and it's like, Mike Banning has terrorists go after him on Air Force One.
Hold a sec. Hold on. Did he get his job because of Steve Bannon? Is he related?
Banning. I-N-G.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, Steve Bannon was in the Oracle Cave. That fat fuck with the gray face.
His disgusting your uncle's alcoholic nose face.
So back to licking this girl.
Yeah.
He basically gets a no from basically the government saying you cannot.
Right, the wizards are like,
they're all wizards.
They are wizards. No, you're right.
They're just like, oh yeah, the space god says no. Mm-hmm.
The floating girl, no, she says no.
And they also say like, Greece will fall, and Sparta will fall, blah blah blah.
They're like, what are you gonna do? He leaves, and then like, Dominic Monaghan or whatever this dude's name is comes
Dominic
in.
West
comes in and like gives them all this Xerxes gold, and they cut to this like one character, this black guy that you never see before or since, but it's the most racist fucking transition I've ever seen, because like he's smiling because he got one over on Leonidas, and the camera goes black except for his eyes. And
oh,
I'm
you
like,
mean
what the fuck is this,
dude? It's like fucking Baron Samedi sitting on the front of the train at the end of Live and Let Die.
It's like, what?
It's insane. What?
This might be the most racist movie in 30 years. I'm not kidding. I really think like
it's up there.
Yeah,
dollar for dollar, like what it made and how many people like it, and it's like fucking nuts.
I'm almost thinking like they added those Greek monsters because of the fucking monster mash we get.
They ran out of races, you think?
In the Persian army, dude. Yeah. Holy Toledo with this nonsense.
It's outrageous.
There's outright trolls.
If you don't have delicate white flesh, you are an outright monster
there
in this movie.
Something with an axe hand or something.
Nubs? The obese crab man?
My wife was calling it crab boy. This thing is nasty.
Oh, he definitely fucks though, dude. He is crab
but
man.
Like, I guess they cut off his forearms and like shave his bone into swords.
But it looks
swords.
Like it's just melded together, man. It's,
I'm going to fucking vomit.
I want to puke. I want to puke. This guy looks like a podcast.
Well, you know what I...
You know, I want to puke. I watched 300.
If you remember Nothing But Trouble, the diaper twins, that was the thing I
thought
of.
You're totally right.
Dude, this is what this movie is missing. Thank you. Is Dan Aykroyd. Add some levity.
Some Chevy Chase, too.
The God King Xerxes commands you. The best part, not the best part, we cut to an unnecessary sex scene with Lena Headey, who's in this movie as, I don't know if you said that yet, as his wife.
Oh, she's the queen.
She's his queen. And, like, she has to do this sex scene where, like, she's still surprised by the size of her husband's dick after, like, she's had a kid with him at this point.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, what?
This I grew it yesterday.
It's so ridiculous.
It's my favorite kind of sex scene that you get in movies where it's all the positions in 20 seconds. Gerard Butler is flipping her over this way and that. It's the most unrealistic shit. And she's just, every single time, it's like, oh!
I drank my Cialis potion today.
And what's her name? Queen Gringo?
Gorgo, I think. No, I'm not kidding. I think it's Gorgo.
Gorgon?
I thought it was Gringo.
I'm pretty sure it's not Gringo.
Gregory? Queen Gregory?
So she's like, what are you, a pussy go to war? And he's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's all right. I'm Greek. You know me being Greek.
It's amazing, though, because like, he's like kind of sitting up in bed, like having trouble sleeping, what with contemplating going to war and whatever. Mm-hmm. And she wakes up and she's like, what's that? Did I hear your huge erection stirring?
And he's like, not right now. Trying to figure out if I want to go kill Xerxes.
Whatever, man. And
but this is basically, it's
It's the scene at the end of Mystic River when Laura Linney's like rubbing Sean Penn's yes. shoulders like, you could own this fucking neighborhood. You could be the king and I'd be your fucking dirty ass white trash queen of the whole fucking block, baby.
Oh, you could run the Dunkin' Donuts. You could go Dunkin' Donuts to Dunkin' Donuts.
And then your penis will just pluck out the sun.
Oh, shit, so Leonidas. You could have it so that we get fucking season tickets. Gets to the Celtics, bro.
Look, I'm sorry that a deaf kid killed your daughter or whatever for no reason, but yeah, you thought it was Tim Robbins, right? I did too.
Yeah, he was talking about werewolves that whole fucking time, baby. This is Boston.
Yes. So the next day, he doesn't have support from anybody. So like, he has this clever thing where like Dominic West is like, "Hey, man, where are you going? You're taking all these great warriors. Are you going to war?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm just going for the stroll. They're my bodyguards."
And then you got a then sort of unknown Michael Fassbender, whose role throughout most of this movie is to be like, "Yeah, that's right." Like, he is just like Leonidas' hype man.
Well, nobody says anything in this movie, but yeah, that's right.
He had that coming.
They eventually like stalk out like where the Persian fleet is, and Michael Fassbender's looking over the edge and like what, like this fleet like is destroyed in a storm.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Like, there's some bad weather.
And everyone's like cheering and stuff, but the only guy that stayed like stone is Mike Bannon.
Magneto.
Oh, that's right.
And then Magneto, like, is there the next day, and there's more ships in this fucking Arcadian. Need I say more?
Fucking Arcadian.
Is complaining, like, I thought we saw these ships crash, and this dude is just like, Michael Fassbender's all like, oh, this is great, you know, because I've always wanted a beautiful death. I don't know if you know this, but we're going to war, and I just want to die. I actively want to die.
I want to go to hell.
I can't wait till we go to war together, because I actively want to die. So this is going to be great. No, it's going to be fine. I want to die.
The other guy's a pussy. I'm like, can I be next to someone else, please?
Yes. Can I be next to someone who has a will to live?
Exactly. I don't want your suicide by cop or whatever nonsense you're trying to do, man.
He keeps on rambling about a beautiful death.
Yeah, it's like, God.
Dude, man, grabbing a cop's gun in 34th Street, Herald Square is not a beautiful death.
I would be freaking the fuck out if I was sharing the battle lines with this dude. Also, speaking of praying for death, you know what I was thinking of watching this movie? Fassbender could have played a good Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He looks a lot like Christ the Savior in this movie.
I think he had his same diet for this movie.
I'll just say, I saw the movie Shane. You'd need a really long tunic, man. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
that shit's scraping the floor of that nice apartment,
man. I haven't seen that movie, but he's got a horse cock.
Yeah, he's kind of got a horse cock.
It's how he flips up the toilet seat.
he's a senator. You should have played a senator in this. They had senators.
Yeah.
You know you were talking, we're like debating the actual number of dudes that are in this armada. Is it 299? Is it 301? I think it's at least 301, because you know who is a soldier in and of himself? Is Gerard Butler's fucking rat tail that he's got going on in this movie. This thing is Padawan grade disgusting.
He oils that thing, man.
It is gross. It's thick. Oh, it's a thick rat tail.
But he wraps it around his head.
Yep, that's what you do when your rat tail gets too out of control, man. You wrap it around your gross skull.
And you know,
gross skull.
These days, he would have just gone for the man bun.
Totally.
Oh, dude, a modern King Leonidas.
If Leonidas was played by Jason Momoa, there would be a man bun going.
How long do I have to wait for the next arcade fire?
He's bicycling to work. He's the kind of guy you hate.
He's the guy who's fucking commuting with a cup of coffee that's just like a ceramic mug of coffee. You ever see those people?
That's like absolutely clinical.
I don't think I have.
You've never seen that happen?
No.
Oh, dude, you just want to scream to the heavens.
You know, this isn't your house.
Yeah.
Well, he does have a death wish, so the makes sense.
The plan is to reach this very certain point in Greek geography, which I don't know, wherein it's a really narrow pathway.
You just got to cut him off at the pass.
And basically, that'll... No matter how many soldiers they send, it cuts down the numbers quite a bit because it's just like one-on-one, essentially.
Steve, right.
Did you get that? That's just like how he killed the wolf.
Oh, right.
Because this movie's fucking stupid.
But I love that this dude who's essentially giving like a locker room speech before the Olympics yeah. is able to like, you know, tie all that together.
Oh, he's painting a story here, yeah. man. You know, he's making a nice little thing.
It's a real tapestry that he's weaving. And, you know, it's supposed to be off the cuff.
So let's get to the hunchback. The hunchback's a very important
character. Oh, you mean the inbred swine?
Yes.
Which, by the way, I counted twice. There might be more, but they refer to him in the voiceover narration as an inbred swine.
Oh, really?
Two times.
So he comes up to King Leonidas and he's like, "Hey, man, I got this great idea." And his captain, like, kicks this dude. He's like, "How dare you look at Leonidas, you gross fuck!"
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Leonidas is like, "Yo, man, let's just, you know."
to Leonidas' credit, he's like, "You could help clean up the bodies."
Well, because that's the thing. Is like, he's like, "Oh, I escaped the infanticide or whatever because, like, my parents got me out, but I always wanted to be a Spartan. I just want to help you guys."
He should have got tossed in the baby pit.
He's like, no, yeah, this guy's Mike Pence's dream. So
my mother fucked the baby inspector so that I may live.
Oh my god.
What a sentence. My mother fucked the baby inspector.
That'd be great if Leonidas just goes to the captain like, "Remind me when we get back, I gotta talk to the baby inspector." I mean, like, what are we doing here? Hey, look at this guy, baby inspector. Look at this guy.
I understand a few B's, not an F.
Thank you, Stone Pony. We love you, New Jersey. We are my mom. Fuck the baby inspector. Good night. This guy can't fit through a fucking door. I mean, come on. Come on, baby inspector. Come on.
Apparently, they went into exile over this.
Sure.
Like the father.
You would have to.
So this inbred swine has a shield from his father and like his old Spartan robe. And he's like, "Oh, Leonidas, I may be a mutant hunchback that probably didn't even exist back then."
Well, no one's ever existed like this.
No one's ever, right? Like, this is the fucking Elephant Man.
Dude, yeah. He looks like an 85-year-old toxic Avenger.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, "Oh, you want to join the phalanx or whatever?" And he's like trying to get him to put his shield up as far as it can go. And he's like, "Not good enough." And that's it.
It's yeah. kind of the nicest Leonidas ever gets, though, yes. because he's like, "Show me your spear work." And this guy's like, "Ugh." And he's like, "Oh, good spear work. Now let's see if you can hide behind this turtle shield." And he like can't lift his other, you know, debilitated arm up. And he's like, "Ugh. Sorry, you freak."
Which is actually like, if that's all it is, and like this guy, this movie should be Rudy for this guy, right? Like,
oh,
at the
yes.
end, he saves yep. the day. Yes. Like, that'd be great.
Instead, he fucks the whole thing.
Because this movie, like, and I was reading some criticism, was is really viewed as like really ableist. You know what I mean? Like, because like, not only are you disabled, but you're disgusting and you're sneaky.
You're
and
a you're betrayer.
Gonna... Yes, exactly.
That's the big one. Is
there is
a
man
fucking...
who has crab arms, everybody.
Yeah, but at least he kills motherfuckers.
Yeah, he's
the game.
That's
the thing.
Listen, yeah, Persia allows that. Allows yep. allows the monster party within
a living
their
wage.
Yeah,
the
sure.
whole, they have a whole monster
totally
squad.
Right. Rodrigo Santoro as Xerxes is like, "Hey man, with my modulated bass voice, why don't you come be with us, hunchback? We're totally cool over here in Persia."
And his fucking giant Gandalf body.
What is that? Well, what is that about?
I mean, it's everyone's worst nightmare, right? 8-foot brown homosexual, right? That's what we're talking about here.
No. No!
Well, actually, I have to pull up. Zack Snyder had a quote about that, actually.
Oh,
why?
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why he's not
while
a piece of shit?
While you pull that up, let me just mention, like, I just looked this dude up, and I was like, holy shit, he was kind of good in Westworld.
Rodrigo Santoro is yeah. awesome on Westworld. It's kind of funny. He was part of a duo that was the two most hated characters to ever be added to Lost. So much
oh, really?
So that they were the two of them were like
oh, yeah.
hilariously murdered off
Xerxes
the show.
Xerxes and Crab Boy?
Wait, is he Maggie Grace's brother?
No. Okay. This was Nikki and Paolo.
Okay.
They were these two like rich, obnoxious people that I think were in like the they just were like one day on Lost it was like, "Oh,
oh, and Nikki and Paolo, of course. Hey, come over and join the group. And the internet was like, fuck those two characters. And they had them get bit by like a poisonous spider so that they were paralyzed. And everybody thought that they were dead. And they were buried alive on the island.
Whoa.
It was like an episode of Hitchcock Presents. It was awesome.
That's
but they
cool.
were so, it was so shoehorned. Like, here we have all these characters for however many seasons on this show. And it's like, by the way, these two people have been here the whole time. And when their episode was like introducing them, all these characters that you've known for years were like, hey, Nikki and Paolo. And oh, it was just sucks. The most artificial garbage.
Well, hey, Poochie.
Well, it was a total Poochie situation.
My favorite Santoro performance is him not being able to get erections because Laura Linney's crazy brother calls.
What?
In Love Actually.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a home movie or something.
No, no, no. Not a sex tape, Eric.
The weird
thing I call them home movies.
So basically, the idea is, so Xerxes, like, asks, after, like, a bunch of killings that are really boring and take forever, Xerxes brings him out to talk to him. He's like, hello, I'm the devil. And he's like, he's, and basically he's trying to like seduce him to his side, and he like kind of puts his like
hands... Oh, is this when he's in the orgy palace?
No, this is when like
this is Leonidas first meeting.
Just meets them.
Him oh, out on the I side thought of you were talking about when he seduces the hunchback. When,
I think he's got guy. Like he's got his I guess like all these slaves carrying his fucking platform. That's ridiculous. Which, it's like a palace.
Yeah, and, I mean the thing is humongous. It would crush these people.
It's all these people carrying a house that this guy's sitting on top of,
and he like puts load. His big like. Minute bowl hands all over him. He's like big and like, you know, Xerxes is what's his face is Leonidas is very upset. Zack Snyder quote, what's more scary to a 20-year-old boy than a giant god king that wants to have his way with you? That's what we're
that's a direct quote from this director.
That's Zack Snyder.
And then DC said, let's give this guy not Every, only a...
Yeah, let's
not
go.
Only, not one movie.
Keep it going.
All the movies. All of them. Let's
you know what's the most outrageous part about that quote? Is that Gerard Butler's supposed to be 20 years old.
There is a really great scene where like one of the Michael Fassbender cuts off this dude's arm and he's like, our arrows will blot out the sun. And then later the arrows...
The thousand nations of the Persian Empire descend upon you.
That's
It's kind of the only good line in the movie. And the thing is, I was trying to remember it all day, what it was. I kept on thinking, like, all the armies of Europe and Asia. And I'm like, wait, no, that's Abe Lincoln.
But then later, when it happens, they all have these shields, and Fassbender goes to this other guy. He's like, huh, arrows are blotting out the sun. I really did not see that coming. Like,
wish somebody told me that. Oh, wait, somebody warned me that was going to happen?
That guy was right.
The guy I killed? Really? That's what he said?
We do get elephants, which are fun. A rhinoceros. I feel like if I was in Sparta and I'd never seen a rhinoceros before, I would just like have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my god, it's a dinosaur. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the Stranger Things upside down. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What could that even be?
A bedazzled rhino.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, why are we decorating the animals?
I think it's another one of the little, like, I hate gay people things from Zack Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, they have all the frilly stuff all over the rhinos. And
freaking rhinos are gay. Well, the freaking frogs gay.
There's probably some, like, types of battle armor for those beasts in battle.
You would think. Like a Lord of the Rings thing.
Well,
like,
battle armor, I totally understand. But, like, why are you piercing its ears?
Yeah, it's like necklaces draped over
the rhinoceros. It's a waste of jewelry. There's, it's a fucking rhinoceros.
It's a waste
of
resources. It's a waste of fucking time. And I noticed their arrows all have, like, these intricate patterns etched in.
That's a waste of time.
Are you kidding? You just shot 10,000 arrows.
Yeah.
Are you really? You're taking the time to fucking sculpt every single one of them?
I'll tell you what. Who's got the angle on that business is making a fortune.
I'm imagining like a mini mall in Persia wherein like rhinos can get pierced in next to the food court.
Rhino Claire's.
And their mother's like, no, not till you're 14. I don't think so, young lady.
But piercing a rhinoceros, what a dangerous profession.
That's
you can get kicked.
It's like Steve Irwin and up skill level.
Oh yeah, Steve Irwin is the apprentice at that point.
There's a line somewhere around here in the movie. It's when they're like, oh hey man, like these immortals are gonna come for you or whatever, and someone, possibly Gerard Butler, I think it is Gerard Butler, who's just like, well,
we're gonna be in for a wild night.
Yeah. And you're like, what? This isn't Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks.
Oh, wait, we're gonna have gay sex. Oh, I mean, like, no, we're not. The Athenians will do that. We don't do that.
Another stupid thing, like, during that whole, like, the arrows will blot out the sun line, they had built a wall. Like, there's so many moments in this film where they build a wall of stone or, later on, a wall of corpses.
Yeah, the death wall.
Where it's like, okay, so you just spent fucking like 8 hours.
Yes.
Ganking dudes with spears. Yeah. And then you're going to drag thousands of bodies.
Yeah.
And construct a wall. And then you're going to keep fighting?
This is what's outrageous.
I've got lots of cocaine. I forgot to tell you. I brought ale and cocaine.
Anybody need Adderall?
Adderall. What's outrageous with this whole wall of corpses thing that I realized watching it this time, what a waste of resources. Because, yeah, like, they kill all these dudes and then they stack them like 18 high or whatever. Like, it's a huge wall of death. So then these immortals roll up, and then there's, like, the leader immortal who's like, come on out of there, Leonidas, you fucking pussy! And he's like, hey, Spartans, let's do it! It's morphin' time! And they push this wall of corpses over, but it just falls on the one guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hours of work to crush one man.
I'm like Kevin from Home Alone, but it takes fucking forever.
It's so stupid.
But that's not just on them. That's the whole fucking veil, is that. Because when they go to the city that was laid waste to by the Persians... Mm-hmm. There is a Hannibal body tree.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, you're dead. Oh, you think it was the Chesapeake Bay killer?
The Ripper, man.
Yeah. Oh, also, the Ripper. Yeah, the Bay Ripper.
There's also like a moment, I think it was actually when the Rhino comes out, where they had like just been fighting like tribesmen who are wearing like cow hides and cow heads. It's just like, it's fucking Mad Max.
It's weird. There's like a bunch of dudes, like different armies that just kind of like...
All brown, by the way. All brown or Asian.
Yeah. Well, they're all like brown monsters. Mm-hmm. But it's like all these people just got... It's kind of like a montage almost. Yeah. Like we're like, you know, practicing on the ski slopes kind of a thing. Yeah. And I was like, who are all these other armies? And the convenient narrator doesn't bother to utter a peep through any of this.
It's like that montage at basketball when you see all the different teams. You're like, well, those are fun team names. And it happens all too quickly. The Hunchback somehow manages goes over to Xerxes' place, and like there are all these like sexy ladies, and they're all licking each other, but they're also kind of deformed. And like the Hunchback is like, yo, man, how do I get in on this? He's like, hey, why don't you betray these guys that A, would have killed you 30 years ago, B, almost killed you again,
yeah,
and C, said the best you could do is be the water boy. He's like, yeah, fuck yeah. Also, I can get laid for the first time?
It's the easiest sell in history.
100 times out of 100, I would take. I would betray all of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
All of you.
Yeah, yes.
Well, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
This Hunchback, who knows nothing, has to tell Xerxes, the great military leader that is Xerxes, a military strategy.
Sure.
As simple as go in here.
Well, he just shows him where the back door is.
Yeah,
he doesn't know the geography. So, yeah, I mean, this guy's a native son, so maybe he does that.
I don't buy it. I don't buy that he's going here and he just does. He's like, when the fighting dies down, he's not thinking about strategy.
Here's the thing. Here's how they cover that up. When the blot out the sun line, like the dude was talking about how all these Persian scouts are out there, but Michael Fassbender, Magneto, yes, used his metal powers
to levitate kill them.
No, they're all dead. They're part of the stone wall, the first wall of corpses, yes, in this movie. So maybe, you know, they don't have the resources of to know where this back.
Yeah, I mean, they only have 700 million people.
Also true. Like, yeah, you go that way, you go that way, you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're right.
It's also just ridiculous now that I think on it again. Just this, I keep going back to the number because the title of the damn movie is the number. We keep saying, oh, the Leonidas has these 300 dudes, blah, blah, blah. By my count, watching this movie, there's like 14 dudes.
Yeah.
You're right.
How did you fuck that? Like,
Well, 90% of this movie is computer. Let's make some other dudes.
It's dudes, man. Like fucking Weird Science, but this time we're making dudes.
Hello, you dirty little boys. Do you want some dudes?
And that's also, how you would make that movie, by the way.
Also, and like get like, I don't know, Jimin Hunsu to play the one like black Spartan. And then like you at least even a little bit. It's like, oh, you know, I'm from wherever, but I'm
not in my fucking yeah, army. You don't.
You know.
Baby inspector. I mean, like, this is egregious. I mean, look at that guy. Were you just drunk in the square? What's going on here?
So,
The 300 is just the Spartans. We're not counting the cuck Arcadians.
The cuck Arcadians.
Who come in and are like, yeah, we want to fight, but we don't want to die.
It is amazing. It is amazing the shit talking that Gerard Butler gives these Arcadians.
And they're there with them. They are brothers in arms.
By the way, one part Gerard Butler does pump everyone up by saying, he actually says, no retreat, no surrender.
He totally does.
He does it a bunch, actually.
Every time he fucking said that, I was like, they should have made this movie in 1988 with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Ooh, I like much this. Movie.
Right?
I love that.
Early 90s, even. You could get the Quest era.
He's doing why splits and stabbing people with spears.
Your mutant, your inbred swine could be Wilfred Brimley.
Oh, my God.
I just want to help the team. Oh, come on, goddammit. I don't need to raise no fucking shield. Xerxes is way too many. I'm not having a threesome, Xerxes, with these two ladies. I want one white woman.
What is that, Xerxes? What is that thing? Just explain to me. Look like a blob.
In 1990, who would play Xerxes?
Oh, that's a good question. The dude who played Hollywood in Mannequin?
Yes! He would be 8 feet tall.
He'd still have those glasses on.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Jean-Claude Van Damme can give him a talking to.
I like all of this, to be quite honest with you.
God damn it, Xerxes. I ain't going to fuck no rhinoceros, goddamn what? I mean, it's a good deal, but I'm not fucking a rhinoceros. Just give me land and no one to tend it. That's what I want.
That's, yeah.
How did this abomination come into my place?
We cut to Lena Headey, who's apparently this is not in the 88-page comic book this 2-hour movie was adapted into. It's Lena Headey has like a side story where she wants to get support for her husband. Stephen McHattie is here, which is fun.
Oh, Stephen McHattie, of course.
With a great fake goatee. That's a fucking cat on his chin. That thing's ridiculous.
Like, why bother? I'm sure Stephen McHattie can fucking grow a goatee. Mm-hmm. What is the problem?
So, but the long story short with her is, and they kind of cut back and forth because this movie has nothing to do, it's just her trying to gather support in the Senate, and Stephen McHattie is like, oh, you've got to go to Dominic West, he's your only way in. She does, and they have this really awkward sex/rape scene. Like,
no, just a rape scene.
It's just a rape scene, yeah.
Because you had to tick off all the fucking boxes on the Snyder checklist.
Thank God dude, it's boxes. A rape scene. Yeah, exactly. Because he's like, you're not going to enjoy this, but it's going to happen. And it's like, oh, okay.
I'm just sitting there watching this movie like, fucking stick to TV.
Stop it.
It's just, so, but then the next day she goes to the Senate and she's like, she thinks she's going to have his support, and she gives this impassioned speech, and then he basically literally just calls her a whore and like tries to get her arrested, and she stabs him in the heart or whatever, and like all this Xerxes gold falls out. By the way, don't bring this gold, your bribe, to the Senate.
Well, it's point. Like, where's the safest place?
Somewhere,
no,
man.
No, dude. Where's the safest place? On your person, man. Where do you think I'm hiding all them fish fillets?
No, you get the baby inspector
put that McDonald's
involved.
McDonald's in your pants, man.
You get the baby inspector involved. Yes. And he holds your gold because no one's going to fuck with the baby inspector.
That's true. Apparently he can do anything.
Although once Leonidas meets Wilford Brimley, he's going to have a talking to, I think.
Zack Snyder again, by the way, wanted to add this thread to the movie because he wanted to have like a quote-unquote strong female character who gets fucked and called a whore.
She kills him, so it's all justified.
It's all good then? Oh, that's cool.
It's all fine, man. I mean,
outrageous.
Like, so it's all coming down, man. The Hunchback betrays them. The bullshit Arcadians are like, dude, we are fucked. These, like, the one advantage we had, which was this little narrow passageway, has been taken away from us. We're gonna bounce, and they're like,
somehow,
you fucking pussies, don't you want to die?
That's what I didn't understand, though, is how does that Arcadian get wind that the Hunchback was crooked?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, just look at him. He stands crooked.
I mean, I think that one of their spies saw some people coming up and like, oh shit. That's
there is like, but there are like a million people around at all times.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, isn't he just like there at the front of the army? Isn't the Hunchback just there like, I did this with a stupid hat on?
He did, yeah, because he wanted a uniform.
He is given a hat.
Right.
It's a wizard cap. It's really silly.
It's a Black Pope hat.
I don't think we mention it. They do eventually fight wizards or whatever they call them.
The magicians.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just like, I guess it's supposed to be gunpowder.
Yeah, bombs.
Right. Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Look
yeah,
at
yeah.
this magic.
My favorite thing is when the block out the sun thing happens, when they're like, arrows, pussies.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That's not even like that's just smart military sense.
Like the best thing you can do.
Yes. It's not an arm wrestling match. No. It's you're trying to kill people.
I'm sorry. Not everyone uses spears.
Only an honorable death is death by spear or sword, man.
I guess so.
That's the deal.
So, it's the night of. It's all going down. There's this weird thing where this one guy brings his son to the war and his head gets cut off.
Oh,
and he's
oh
like,
man. It's a classic Jason Voorhees decapitation. And then this dude starts crying about it. And it's this thing in the movie where it's like, we try to have this moment where this dude's like upset and he's like, oh man, Gerard Butler, like I'm just bummed. Like I brought my son to war and he got computer decapitated.
What a bad bring your son to work day, by the way.
Absolutely.
Also, someone runs you down on a horse, slices your head off. How is your... his body's like nailed to the ground. It won't move. Stands there completely still. And, you know, because I guess that looks cool.
Well, I
and,
think it's supposed to be like this dude's sword is so sharp that it's like...
so quick.
Guess what?
It's going through you like sidewalk butter, dude.
No also, it's in, no also it's in slow motion because it's a Zack Snyder movie. Yeah.
The slow motion in this instance is how we are making this a feature-length film. Not for nothing.
So much of it. So
every fucking fight scene is all in slow motion.
Well over half the movie, I would say. Over half the movie.
What is his name? Leonidas?
Leonidas.
He fights that big troll guy at one point, gets a cut on his visor or whatever the fuck.
That's pretty cool.
And then it's just like, oh, and then Xerxes was mad at his generals. And what did he do then? He had Crab Boy cut their heads off.
Then it's just, it cuts to like the gross, disgusting, like brown sky in this entire movie. Then it's like slow mo, this dude's head. Yeah, it's a black guy, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
And his head is just flying.
But it's like, I'm sorry, no. I'm just hitting myself. I hate this.
Oh, this is the yellowest movie ever made, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is like the 2000s, so we had to have like the most atrocious filter on everything.
Yeah, totally. It's all Soderbergh's fault, man.
Yeah,
Soderbergh's fault. We go to Mexico, it's just gross and yellow.
The day Zack Snyder makes Traffic.
Fair enough.
I'll get in on this, but no.
Fair enough.
That I would like to see. That now that I would like to see.
So he goes to David Wenham at this point. He's like, you're a great warrior. And David Wenham, one of the biggest characters in this movie, loses his eye. We don't see that happen. He's just like, that happened. It's like, well, I need to know that story.
Thank you. I was totally confused by that. I was like, oh, did I fall asleep watching this? Which I definitely did. There was some rewinding
now,
to be had.
Take now with your eye socket, hold this shield. Oh, you can't do it, can you? You got to go.
Sure.
Goodbye.
Hope you don't turn on me like that gross Hunchback.
Oh, man, another disabled dude. Just kill him now.
Well, that's
honestly
part of the reason why he then sends him away.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to the Galactic Senate.
Right.
And tells the story, and then he pumps up the crowd at the end. So from here on out, at least, I think it was all bullshit. I don't think there was a Crab Boy. I think this is just
there
fucking
was no Crab
weird.
Boy at
this
all.
Is just weird shit
there
he's telling people.
There was no Crab Boy.
After they defeat Xerxes, he'd be like, was there even a Crab Boy? I don't see a Crab Boy. We're going through the bodies. I don't see a Crab Boy.
That'd be great.
rate the one guy that was skeptical. Yeah, I put my life on the line to kill a crab boy. I don't see one.
He's walking around the battlefield. He's wearing a t-shirt that says the truth is out there.
I got here 7 billion not white people. A troll. 5 elephants, no crab people.
And Xerxes was 6'1", okay? What the fuck?
From here on out, he has no fucking clue what happened to Leto Nidus, Lego Man, Lego...
Leonidas.
The master Legoland. Builder.
He has no idea what happened to Legoland from here on out. And then... Like, what? He's just bullshitting. He's like, and then, they fought bravely. They did. Oh.
But he's also telling Lena Headey's story like he knows what's going on, too.
And then, she was raped.
Yeah. Man.
She had bazoombas from here to, like, no.
Leonidas liked to be watched.
That's right. He knows about Leonidas having sex with his wife. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
What are you talking about?
That's a detail that he was bragging about on their endless walk to the battlefield.
I fucked her for the 27,000th time.
But he's the kind of dude he's telling you about every time he gets laid.
I was in the bushes watching them.
Rowdy, rowdy peeper.
I'm always peeping.
So the idea is everyone else abandons them because they know they're going to die. And like, yeah, this is like a strategic retreat. Like a billion people without any against you, without any tactical advantage. Let's go back and let's train people. And then like, let's fortify Sparta first. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, just make it a siege story now. Mm,
exactly. But no, they're like, we need to die. And because he grabs everybody. It's the night of, and he's like, children, gather around. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. It's like fucking Heaven's Gate at this point. You know what I mean? Like these guys are sleep deprived. They're food deprived.
They want to die.
They're highly suggestible, and he's like, the fucking comet's coming, man. Just, we're not going home tonight, man. The comet's coming. We're all going to space. Oh, yeah, once Xerxes kills us, we go to space.
Worship me, King Hail Bob.
Tonight, we die in hell. Pluto.
No, Michael Fassbender, you're not going to die. You're getting a planet. Oh, you're going to be the king of Mars.
Oh, hell is just the name of a spaceship. The SS Hell.
Man, that's a Sci-Fi Channel original movie if I ever heard
one. Yeah, it's a knockoff of Event Horizon.
The SS Hell. So, a very prolonged sequence, Xerxes, another emissary is telling... Leonidas to give up, and Leonidas like throws off his shield, and this is being narrated by, and this is the problem with the narration, like when you're showing me and telling me at the same time, I'm incredibly annoyed.
Yes.
It's like one or the other.
This narration is terrible to begin with, but then you remember, we're watching a fucking locker room pep talk. We're watching Kurt Russell at the end of Miracle.
So he's like, he throws off his shield, he takes off his helmet, it was stifling, the shield was heavy, and he kneels down, and then he grabs his spear and chucks it at Xerxes' head, and fucking misses, by the way.
Well, yeah. He cut him, and earlier in the film, he said that even you could bleed.
God will bleed.
Well, that's right, because he fancies himself a man god, is the idea.
So, I mean, like, he's like John Hinckley at best, Leonidas. You know what I mean? He got a shot off, but it didn't really take
Leonidas, you know, he didn't get the job done, but he was really trying to impress Jodie Foster.
And then they all die.
Everyone dies. Like, the movie is over.
Fassbender gets like ganked, and he's just like, "Oh, it was an honor to die by your side."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then Legoland is all like, "Hey, man, it was an honor to live by yours, dude." And then of course,
see you in space.
Yeah, exactly. But he's like Gerard Butler is like the strongest dude ever, man. Yeah. So he got up. Yeah, no, he didn't just die there, everyone. Hey, guys, listen up. He didn't just die there. He got up, and then he got shot with more arrows.
He heard it from the crowd, dude. That was the thing.
That's how that worked.
I wish I had fucked you. That's what I imagine he says to Michael Fassbender.
That's it.
And then we get like, where the narrator was, that dude with the eye patch, he's pumping up everyone, and he... He has this line about how we're going to like remove mysticism and tyranny from the world.
God.
How are you talking about removing? You got fucking wizard mutants licking girls up in that mountain. Don't tell me you don't have mysticism.
No, you're talking those, about those guys,
Zeus and Poseidon and also, whoever else.
No, nope. You're a police state, nope, by nope, the way.
No, it's all, they're all out of a job.
Oh, I see.
The whole thing, the whole lot of them, they're all out of a job.
Oh, you think so? Because the mystics that lick girls like betrayed Lego land?
Those freaks, dude, most importantly, they're getting reevaluated by the baby inspector. 85 odd years later.
Bump it up to the supervisor.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. We made a terrible mistake. You're going to have to go down this cliff. I feel really bad about this, but there's new rules about baby inspecting.
There might be some babies alive down there you can hang out with for a while.
Also, we're kind of ripping off the end of Gladiator just a titch in this movie like when Eye Patch Dude goes and tells Lena Headey the score, it's in like a gloriously lit field, like
he's
end of that
fingering
movie.
Wheat, you know, his way to be reunited with Lena Headey.
Yeah, no, it's all horse shit.
Yeah,
the little kid becomes like the next king, I guess is the idea.
Anybody see that sequel, by the way?
Oh, no, Chris,
why? I did too.
What? Two of you?
Holy shit.
I don't remember it besides what, like...
Eva Green's killing people?
Well...
And that's, she's also not, super that, naked, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, she's just, it's Plow Town. It's disgusting. I'm serious, dude. It's nonstop.
Oh, yeah, she's getting plowed by the guy from Blind Spot.
What the hell is
Blind Spot?
I don't know, but...
That stupid show with the woman with the tattoo lady.
I think Xerxes is back in that, too.
Oh, yeah, right. Where's he going?
I don't know, dude, man. I don't remember shit about that
sequel. Isn't Ava Green also in that Sin City sequel? Yeah, it's the same thing?
She loves Frank Miller sequels. If there's a Spirit too, she would do it.
Oh, man, yeah, not a fucking chance. I saw that in the theaters.
I also love how...
Really? Oh, big time.
Wow.
Yep.
I love how Frank Miller needed to clarify his views on Islam with that fucking terrorist comic. Like, he was like, 300, I was a little too subtle with that one. Let me just have this guy cutting off people's heads in the modern day.
Oh, that terrorist comic.
Let's do it. Let's rank the Zack Snyder movie.
Oh, shit.
What are you talking about?
Dawn of the Dead is number one.
And that's barely an okay movie.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited it, but when I saw it in theaters, I liked it.
It is quite sufferable. I give it that.
I got to bring up his fucking filmography.
Yeah, please do.
Because I think it, for me at least, I think it goes Dawn of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
Probably Watchmen.
It's like Dawn of the Dead, and then like you fall off a cliff, and then Watchmen's like way down.
Watchmen
after
is
that.
Tone deaf, but at least it looks pretty cool.
It does.
Yes. And I mean, I think that Billy Crudup's pretty good in that movie.
After all of this horseshit monster garbage that we saw in this movie, though, you're telling me you couldn't figure out a giant octopus?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
Or even make that hunchback. Just use the same effect and make him really big. Yes. Just make him blue and big.
It looks like you did some random shit before that, like I guess something about Morrissey. All right.
Probably music videos.
Yeah. So anyway, Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
300. Watchmen. Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Glory Hole.
That's right. Eric, that was the porno parody. It's the Owls of Ghoul.
No, he directed them both, actually.
Yeah. Zucker Bunch, which is directed by the guy who did Airplane, I think. Man of Steel. Batman versus Superman.
And then now Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four upcoming projects, by the way. Oh, good. He's supposedly, according to IMDb, of this right moment. slated to direct The Fountainhead.
Of course he is.
Based on the novel by Ayn Rand. I think Paul Ryan's going to be showing his pecs in that one.
Oh my God.
No, he's going to insist on a cameo.
I mean, you guys are... I mean, it's Dawn of the Dead. Fuck. I guess Watchmen... I didn't see
Is Man of Steel Man better of than Steel Watchmen, is, though?
No, I think Man of Steel is under Watchmen.
Watchmen is better than Man of Steel.
I think I might disagree, but because I don't know. This is just fucking shit. It's fucking garbage. You want me to rank sewer turds?
Which one floats the highest?
Hey, man, which one's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
All right, no.
Those are sewer turds.
For me, it's Dawn of the Dead, Watchmen. Actually, I would put Dawn of the Dead, Watchmen. I would probably put Man of Steel third.
It's got to be. We're all going to have the same order.
Then Dawn of Justice, probably. I could imagine myself watching Dawn of Justice again before this.
Before 300. Yeah, of course. Sure.
Because at least Dawn of Justice is like jaw droppingly like what the fuck terrible. This is just like boring.
It's totally boring. Like, that's what I'll always say about Dawn of Justice, is that I don't like it. I think it's terrible, but I wasn't bored while I was watching it. It's just bad.
I was bored. I might rank 300 above it. I don't know.
Okay. Wow.
It's
the one difference.
It's all fucking shit.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, none of us saw The Legends of Glory Hole.
Or something. I think I was
The Owls of Gahool.
I think Sucker Punch is the worst of them all.
I think so.
I forgot about Sucker Punch.
I think that's right at the bottom.
Yeah.
300 beats it out just by a sliver.
Jesus, if you were like, hey man, which would you rather rewatch first, Sucker Punch or 300? Just put a bullet in my teeth.
How about I just get killed?
Yeah, totally.
Can I choose silence? Not the movie.
What's the BTK killer doing right now?
Put me in front of the baby inspector.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Put me down that fucking hole.
So that's 300. Nobody's recommending this, right?
No.
Wow. For nobody. No, not even for the baby inspector.
No.
I would like to thank everyone for 300 wonderful episodes, including you three gentlemen in this room.
Oh, you
thanks for taking this journey with me.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
End of sentence.
And they're welcome.
Yes, of course. They are also welcome.
Thank you for continuing to support We Hate Movies on this weird internet adventure we're on. Now, next week on the program, we just keep going. That's the thing. We're like, oh, yeah, 300 episodes. Well, whoop-de-fuck, because the show goes on. In kind of the worst way possible. We're talking about Alien versus Predator.
Ooh, that's a covenant we're making with ourselves, huh?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. That's awful.
So, speaking of internet adventure, turn to next week for Alien versus Predator. You know, like when you got the adventure.
Oh, like choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I see.
Now, you can only go, you could go backwards. What was last week? Death Wish.
Yeah.
Oh, you could flip back and forth like that. It would be kind of annoying. Just like reading those books was. So that is 300. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum website. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. And write into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. It's you guys who continue making this show chug along week after week.
Tell a friend, tell a grandmother, tell just anybody you want.
Just a stranger in the street.
Your racist neighbor.
And we can tell if you don't tell someone, by the way.
We
have eyes everywhere. And if you know, I mean, we're doing this for you. Yeah. Tell the people.
Yeah, Paul and Duluth. Let's tell some people.
Or the show's over.
Get off your ass, Paul and Duluth. I can see you right now. Put some pants on. It's incredibly unpleasant. So until next week, when we're talking about Alien versus Predator, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Oh, come on.
Steven Zadek.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
That was a HeadGum podcast.